JC Corcoran Podcast.
Wow, thanks. Thanks for coming out. This is nice to be home back in the United States. I was just in Canada for 2 weeks. It's a very nice country. It's kind of like our attic. You forget it's up there, but then when you get up there, you're like, wow, look at all this stuff. Totally forgot this was here. I have friends up there, and I stayed with them, and they're very nice people, very nice house, but they have three pit bulls, and those dogs they really freak me out. And she's like, do the dogs make you nervous? I'm like, yeah. She's like, how come? I'm like, because I watch the news. And I don't know if you do, but about once a month, a pit bull eats a person. And then the owners are always on the news the next night acting so totally surprised it occurred. They're always really sincere, too. They're like, we just can't believe Satan would have done anything like this. And I do watch the news. I watch CNN because I don't usually understand the news the first time, and they'll repeat it to me 484 times. I think headline news makes things up, though. Those facts they scroll out at the bottom of the screen, and some are very disturbing. I saw one that said the average human being has 50,000 thoughts in a day. I was like, well, that better be really wrong. It was like 8 o'clock at night, and I only had 4. And one of the thoughts was, I'm going to stop wasting time watching stupid TV. There's TV I'm watching, and I can't believe I'm watching, but I can't turn it off. Here's a perfect example. 2 months ago, for 28 minutes, I watched Martha Stewart build a hammock for a cat. I swear to God, I don't even have a cat. I just could not believe that a person could reach this point in their life. We were this, like, totally out of stuff to do. And there's enough free room in your brain for the thought to get in when you're looking at the cat. He is just not comfortable enough. Another one of my big thoughts of the day was I have to move my couch because I have a friend who read a book about feng shui, which is the ancient art of Chinese furniture placement. And if you know anyone who's read a book about this, I would suggest you not let them into your home. He walks in my apartment. He's like, oh, your couch is totally in the wrong spot. That's why you're having bad luck lately. I'm like, yeah, okay. Let's blame it on the couch. It would have nothing to do with the fact that I'm on it till 4:30 in the afternoon.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, February 16th, 2022, here at jconline.com. Hi, that would be me, JC. We have 267 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. And yes, the Schnucks panic aisle is open. Now, 90% of the people who are listening to me right now are going to be more affected by the heavy rain today and tomorrow, but there's going to be a period tomorrow afternoon, and that's why we have the Schnucks Panic Aisle open. There's going to be a period of time tomorrow afternoon where the rain is going to flip over to snow, and, you know, a couple of inches maybe. I mean, most places are probably going to get a dusting, but there's going to be such a dramatic drop in temperature that you're going to have all that rain that's going to spill over because it's going to come down maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches. That means it's going to back up a little bit, and there's going to be ponding, you know, lots of areas where that water will just accumulate. Then it's going to freeze over during the afternoon hours, and then there's going to be snow on top of it. So anything after about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, at least that's the way it looks right now, anything after about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon is going to probably come down in some sort of frozen way, and that could mean ice, it could mean pellets, it could mean sleet, and eventually a little bit of light snow. Although, if you go just a little bit to the north and a little bit to the northwest of St. Louis tomorrow, some of the computer models are giving, like, Kansas City 20 inches of snow and Columbia, Missouri, about 15 inches of snow. Now, again, there's other computer models that are running that show a dramatically lower level, and they'll fine-tune this throughout the course of the day today. But just suffice it to say that tomorrow afternoon might not be that pleasant, even though if you're in the general, just sort of the centralized part of what you would call the St. Louis area, I don't think it's going to be too bad, but on the fringe areas, you're going to have some problems. So obviously by later on today and into tomorrow, they'll fine-tune this thing and give everybody a little bit better view of what they think is going to happen. 63 degrees yesterday, 64 today. Wild swings in our weather. We live in exciting times. The new soccer stadium downtown St. Louis, as they are calling it now, St. Louis West, or Downtown West. The Centene folks have come along. We're hearing interesting little rumblings coming out of the new soccer team's management facility, but I don't have enough information to go with it yet, but I'm doing, as the TV stations say, I'm doing a little extra digging to find out what's happening over there. If I find out from even one more source that what I've been hearing, these little rumblings coming out of there, is true, then I'll tell you about it, but we shall see. Saw another story yesterday about the trolley in U City. God, now they're going to Bi-State, and they're like, can you help us? And again, I have made a big deal about this thing because Joe Edwards has been right about 98% of the time with all of the different things that he's tried to do. And all right, so the trolley is in the 2% of things that just crashed and burnt. So I'm not going to get on him about it. That having been said, I still don't understand what the concept was. So I go, we'll pick you up in U City in the Loop, and we'll take you to Forest Park, and then we'll leave you in Forest Park. And then a little while later, we'll come back, pick you up, and take you back to the Loop. I don't get it. I think Joe just likes trolleys, and he didn't know where else to go with it. So how about Forest Park? Okay, let's go. So who knows? But somebody better come up with something, because it's starting to get, like, funny for all the wrong reasons. Now, the Olympics are going to be over in a couple of days. Thank God, because I tried to watch a little bit of it. I haven't seen any of it. So I was like, all right, I'll try to watch a little bit, just see if there's anything that will hold my attention. I was watching the luge, and no matter how excited the announcers who are sitting in Connecticut try to make the thing sound, I'm sorry. It's just, you get in a sled, and they've got the whole thing iced down, and you push off, and you start sliding down the ice. I mean, try not to. Oh, wait. Siri, how fast do you go in the Olympic luge?
According to PopSugar, according to the official Olympics website.
Which is it?
Lugers average speeds between 74 and 90 miles per hour, and it's fairly common for Olympic lugers to go 95 miles per hour or more when winding around the track's steepest and most dangerous slopes and turns.
Lugers, which is why I never go to Siri to find out correct pronunciations. Well, again, this is what I've been trying to explain to people. Something that goes 80, 85 miles an hour isn't that exciting anymore. We live in the space age. You know, people drive 90 on Highway 40 going home after a ball game. The definition of speed, I think, has to be updated. It's 2022. And I really do think that people have had it with the cheating and the doping. It's especially from Russia. And then the skater. It's like, yeah, I think I used a spoon to eat some Nutella, but the spoon was my grandfather, and he's on this medicine. He had used the spoon to take his medicine, so a little bit of that must have gotten into my Nutella, and so that's why I tested positive for a drug that I'm not supposed to be using because it could be performance enhancing, and how's that? And the committee's like, sounds good to me. Get back out there. People just had it with the cheating, or have they? Somebody polled 1,000 people and said, if the Olympics would allow performance-enhancing drugs like steroids, would you be in favor of that? And 9% of Americans said yes, and another 12 are on the fence about it. 80% said definitely not. But still, here you go. 20% of the population says, yeah, sure, I think so, probably. Men were twice as likely as women to be in favor of it, and the younger you are, the more likely you are to think it's a good idea. 18% of people under 30, almost 1 in 5, think doping should be allowed. Only 3% of people over the age of 50 agree. That's it. I give up. Somebody asked me if I've been watching, did I catch Steve Schlanger, the sports monster who used to be on our show? Have I caught him doing the play-by-play for some of this Olympic stuff? The answer is no. I think I saw him doing some ice skating stuff a couple of years ago. When Schlanger left the show, when the whole show was broken up, me, Brian McKenna, Karen Kelly, and Schlanger, and then for a while Mark Close was on the show too. This was back around 2000-2001. He just sort of took off and has had no contact with me since. So I'm still not happy about. I was very, very hurt and upset about it for a long time. But I let that go years ago. He seems to be into his own thing. He's a talented guy. But, you know, if you were listening back in those days, you know what a squirrel head he was. Oh, look at this. The CBS Morning News has a swath of 8 to 12 inches of snow just to the northwest of St. Louis, and they have us in about the 3 to 5 range. So there's a lot of people saying there's going to be less than an inch, and a lot of people saying it's going to be more than that. Those type of weather situations make me nervous because when there's no consensus, and one group is saying, hey, you know, dusting, maybe an inch, and the other guys are going, you could get 5 inches. But one thing is clear, the further you go north and west of St. Louis, the worse it appears it's going to be. And especially outstate, you know, mid-Missouri, right along I-70, as a matter of fact. They're talking 8 to 12. This is all tomorrow. Back to the athletic part of our discussion here. You know, that Tour de France, a lot of people didn't get the Sheryl Crow, Lance Armstrong thing. And I just assumed that they ended up breaking up because I'm sure Sheryl got up in the middle of the night to go get a glass of water, a bottle of water out of the refrigerator. She opens up the door, and there's like 3,000 vials of performance-enhancing drugs. And Sheryl just probably said, whoa, what the fuck is this? What are you doing? But it turns out that wasn't the case. I talked about this before. I have a good friend who went to high school with her and still talks to her like twice a month. They're very, very close. And his assessment of it was that they were politically opposite. You know, Lance Armstrong, I don't know if he's a civil libertarian, but he certainly seemed to be with regard to the Olympics. He felt that he should be able to do whatever he wants to be able to qualify and dominate in his sport. And by do whatever you want, I met drugs, lots of them. But no, it appears to have been a political thing because Sheryl is a liberal, Lance Armstrong is not, and there you go. And by the way, he sure fell off the face of the earth, huh? But maybe the Tour de France would get better ratings if they did this all the time. There's a guy in California who was in the middle of a 80-mile mountain bike race on Saturday. Where was this? It just says California. Now, I saw the video of this, and maybe you did too. There's some people shooting video of this from, it appears to be maybe 30, 40 yards away. And you see the guy on the bike sort of, you know, emerge, you know, appear in the frame. And he's driving along on this trail that looks like what a lot of California looks like, which is just sort of barren. And as he's riding along on his bike on this trail, a very, very large bull appears. And the bull is minding his own business. But the guy on the bicycle figures, well, I'll just zip right past him. The bull thinks he's coming for him. So the bull just puts his head down and crushes the kid's bike, like a head-on thing. The guy goes flying over the handlebars, and the bull says, "I'm not done with you, buddy," and goes down there, puts his head, and does one of those fling things like you see in the bullfighters down in Mexico, where the guy goes flying in the air, and then the bull just sort of trots off like, "You're on my turf, buddy." I guess the guy's going to be all right. It's only funny because the guy ended up, you know, not being killed by a bull. Let me shift gears here. They say you're not supposed to warm up stuff in the microwave in some of these plastic containers because there's chemicals in the plastic that will get into your food, and then you're basically eating carcinogens. So you're supposed to use a plate or something like that, but it's so easy to just say, "Oh, I've got this leftover mostaccioli here, and I'm just going to shove it into the microwave, nuke it. 45 seconds later, you're eating." It's so easy to do. It turns out it's just not good for you. Well, now it turns out that these sort of soft plastic bottles that they sell water in have issues. Researchers tested water that had been sitting in one of these bottles for 24 hours and was full of chemicals. And then this part might even be worse. They did it again after the bottles had gone through the dishwasher, okay? And there were even more chemicals. They say it's probably because your dishwasher wears down the plastic and allows it to leach more chemicals into your water. The lead author of the study says he'll never use plastic water bottles now and suggests a quality stainless steel bottle instead. Half the medical community is running around trying to find a cure for cancer. Maybe what they should be doing instead is finding out what's causing the cancer in the first place. And they might want to start with these bottles. How good is the news coverage in St. Louis television? Let's find out.
We are continuing to watch tensions between Russia and Ukraine. Today, Russia's President Vladimir Putin's.
Vladimir Putin's?
President Vladimir Putin's.
That's what the man said on Channel 5. I didn't touch it. Vladimir Putin's. Now, the big question is, will he be corrected? Well, did somebody go to him at the end of the newscast yesterday? That was at 5 o'clock yesterday on Channel 5. Somebody go to him afterwards and say, come here. Or did they just let it slide? When I lived in Fort Wayne back in the late 70s, there was a guy, a weather forecaster. He did the best job he could. I mean, he's on television in Fort Wayne, all right? But at the end of each weather forecast, he would isolate on some city that you never heard of before. And in Bullhead City, Arizona, and by the way, there is one, it's illegal to, and then he would read a law, an actual law that was still on the books. And apparently it all came from a book called It's Against the Law. And he would just pick one out every day, find the city on the map, and just sort of tag the weather forecast with that. I really enjoyed that for some reason. Well, the people at Zipia, goofy website, have compiled the 15 strangest laws in the United States, which you may or may not have heard of before. And here are the top 10. These are laws that I believe are still on the books. And you wonder what the circumstances were where the state legislatures involved in this whole thing were sitting there going, "Yep, we got to make this against the law." And you're like, "Really?" And then somehow 100 years passes, the world changes, and somebody like me finds this stuff. All right, number one, it's illegal to send a surprise pizza delivery to somebody's house in Louisiana or anything else that isn't a gift that they're expected to pay for. It's considered harassment. You send somebody a pizza. And I can understand that one because about 20 years ago, I sent an ex-girlfriend a Christmas tree because I knew she was broke and didn't have enough money to get a tree. And I felt sorry for her, so I dropped a tree off. An honest-to-God actual tree. It was like $80. She called the police on me. True story. Number two, it's illegal to sell, dispose of, give away, or use stink bombs in Alabama. Number three, it's illegal to let your donkey sleep in a bathtub in Arizona. The law was passed due to a random incident in 1924 involving a donkey, a tub, and a flood. And I don't want to know any more than that. Number four, it's illegal to have billboards in Hawaii, Alaska, Maine, and Vermont. It's an attempt to preserve scenic beauty. Number five, it's illegal to throw stones in the District of Columbia. And not just at glass houses. It counts for all streets, highways, open spaces, and public areas. Number six, it's illegal to do any fortune telling in Baltimore. Number 7, it's illegal to scare a pigeon in Massachusetts. People who willfully kill or frighten a pigeon can be imprisoned for up to a month or receive a fine of $20. Number 8, it's illegal to fall asleep while lying down in a cheese factory in South Dakota. Now, there has got to be a story there, but nobody seems to know what it is. Number 9, it's illegal to throw a ball at someone's head in New York for a laugh. Originally, the law was put into place to protect carnival workers from being harassed. The law also mentions it's illegal to throw knives at people. Number 10, it's illegal to run out of gas in Youngstown, Ohio. It's not a felony, thankfully, but you could get a misdemeanor ticket. So you're on the side of the road, you don't have a plastic gas can, you're out of gas, and now you've broken the law. And apparently there's a lot more of these on the website Zippia.com, Z-I-P-P-I-A. It was on this date in 2009 that I realized I could never drink blue Gatorade again. My favorite is the Fruit Punch Gatorade, and I drink that during the baseball games that I play in Florida. You know, it's 90 degrees, the humidity's high, the sun is beating right down on you, grab some Gatorade, Fruit Punch, and you're back in business. I can drink the yellow stuff too, the original flavor, although that tastes a little odd to me. And I think that's really the only two flavors I like. So I figured, okay, what is the Gatorade flavor that I could probably do without? And I concluded that it was the blue kind. I didn't even know what flavor the blue kind was. It wasn't even really blue. It was sort of a, almost like a teal color. You know, you've seen it at the grocery store. So anyway, I picked out that flavor and I brought home a couple of gallons of that stuff. And then I had to mix it with the powder that they give you the night before you're doing your colonoscopy. And you have to stop eating. You take this, you mix up that powder and the whole thing. You've done this, you know, you shake it up and then you start drinking it. And you're like, okay, when is this going to happen? When is this going to start? I don't know. Is it working? I don't even know if it's working. And then all of a sudden, whatever you're doing, you're just completely distracted because you can feel something in your gut about to happen, and then usually without much warning. And that's just the first of many. So by the time you show up at the doctor's office the next morning for your colonoscopy and they knock you out, you are clean as a whistle, buddy, clean as a whistle. But you know you can never look at that blue Gatorade again. All of this happening on this date in 2009. Back in 2001, I almost went to, I don't know, it was like my 40th high school reunion. Now, again, when you go to an all-boys Catholic high school and they say we're doing a reunion, it's not like if you went to regular school where you had girls. So I'm thinking to myself, I gotta get in the car and drive all the way to Chicago, make myself presentable, and show up at this event, at this high school reunion. Not even any chicks. So I didn't go, but I was almost talked into it. But the real reason I didn't go, the real, honest to God, this is the truth. The real reason I didn't go is because I was afraid I'd kill a guy. There was a guy when I was in high school that was a Nazi. And we had one Christian brother in a theology class who thought that everything should just be open discussion. You know, it's okay for unpopular ideas to be discussed. And so this kid took the opportunity to go up there and start doing Nazi stuff. And then he has a record player, which is what we called him back then. And he pulls out a record and drops the needle and starts playing this Nazi song. And it's just really white supremacy stuff. And the song was talking, using the N-word a lot. And I just got up out of my seat in the class. I walked up to the front of the class and I clocked him. Mama said, knock you out! And so they hauled both of us away. And for the next couple of years, this guy and his buddy were terrorizing my parents' house and our family. Come by, like, you know, 11 o'clock at night. We lived on a corner. Come by 11 o'clock at night, and they would throw these giant rocks and bricks through our windows. And they did that for a couple of weeks. Then they took it up a notch. They took a piece of jagged glass and laid it against the door and then rang the doorbell so that when you opened up the door, the piece of jagged glass came down and was designed to slice your leg open. So then, you know, a year after that, I left Chicago and I started on this, you know, goofy radio trail that took me to 10 cities in 10 years and ended up in St. Louis, and you know the rest. So I heard through the grapevine that this guy was gonna be there, and I just realized if I go, I'll kill him. I know I will. It'll look like a scene from Gross Point Blank. But, you know, as the years have passed and you get a little more peace in your life, put things into perspective, and you realize that maybe something that somebody did in high school might not necessarily have been reflective of who they are as a person. They may have been easily influenced. And so that, you know, here it is. Well, let's see, what year was that? That was 2001, so it's more than 20 years later. Could I go to a reunion of all of these guys knowing that that kid was going to be there? Absolutely fucking not! I'd still want to kill him! So I keep watching the obituaries, and if he dies before I do, I will definitely go to the Chicago area and dance on his grave. Was in New York to see the movie The Birdcage. Got a chance to interview Robin Williams and Gene Hackman. You know you're interviewing a movie star when you're sitting across from Gene fucking Hackman. Let me tell you. I had my rotator cuff surgery on this date in 2017. Was wondering if I was ever going to even be able to brush my teeth again after this. But believe it or not, I took the rehab very seriously. And in fact, the year after the rotator surgery, I went 4-0 in the St. Louis Men's Senior Baseball League. Thank you, Rick Teak, wherever you are. And I've told this story before. Please indulge me if you're familiar with the story. Back in 2000, I was freshly divorced. I had been divorced for about a year, and things weren't really going that well. My social life was shit, and suffice to say, things weren't going very well. And I wanted to go to the Rams game. This was the championship year. We didn't know it was going to be the championship year, but it sure looked like it was going in that direction. And the Rams had a big game, big playoff game. So I took to the internet and I said, here's the deal. Somewhere out there, there's somebody for this game this weekend who has an extra ticket and wouldn't mind it if that ticket went to me. And of course, I'll buy not just the first round, I'll buy the first two rounds of adult beverages. You just let me come along to the game with you. What could go wrong? I mean, nothing else. It'll make for a great story. We'll take pictures. This was before Facebook. I mean, this was the year 2000. Well, lo and behold, you got a very, very nice note from a young woman who says, yeah, I mean, that sounds fine. We have a small group, and I got an extra ticket, and you're welcome to come along with us, blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, that's so nice. Now, this isn't Letters to Penthouse, so I know that this woman is probably very, very nice, very, very sweet, a fan of the show, but for heaven's sakes, be honest with yourself. This is not going to be somebody that's going to be mistaken for a Playboy model. She's just don't expect too much. So I show up at the game, and a very attractive young woman, I can see she's starting to approach me. I figure she's a fan of the show, whatever. I'm like getting ready to take out my Sharpie to do an autograph or pose for a picture or something like that. Well, you guessed it. It was her. And she was a fucking knockout. And it turns out that she had just been freshly divorced. And in fact, had a son who was almost exactly the same age as my oldest daughter at the time, which is about, I think, maybe 7-8 years old, something like that. And I still not buying this. I'm thinking somebody is really pulling one over on me. This can't possibly be the woman who answered this blind invitation that I'm inviting myself to come to the football game on your ticket. But it turned out to be the case. She and I began dating, and in fact dated on and off for a couple of years. And on this date in 2000, I accompanied her to Cozumel, Mexico. And that is the one and only time where anything like that has ever happened to me. Very, very, very sweet gal. And a great memory right there. Oh, and the Rams won. That was the Ricky Prohl game. We got our money's worth, which for me was nothing. Super Bowl 56 numbers are in. 112.3 million people. That's a 13% increase over last year. The top local market for the game was Cincinnati, and L.A. didn't even crack the top 10. All right, late night tonight, Robert Pattinson and Foo Fighters on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Daniel Craig. Adam McKay on with James Corden. Fallon and Seth Meyers are all preempted for the Olympics. Birthdays, Elizabeth Olson, 33. Jerome Bettis, the truck, played with the Rams for a while, 50. John McEnroe, 63. Ice-T, 64. LeVar Burton, 65. And William Kent, the greatest American hero. He was also in Carrie in 1976. And with Susan Day, Laurie Partridge, a great underrated movie called First Love. Beverly D'Angelo quit the grinning and dropped the linen in that one several times, too. William Kent, 71. And Arizona Cardinals teammates reportedly called quarterback Kyler Murray self-centered and immature. Kanye West immediately sued him for copyright infringement. And that's it. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, February 16th, 2022 is in the can. 267 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known. And around here, we do politics only when it's unavoidable, and help us stay in the top 10. We're in the top 10% of podcasts in the country, and that is because you guys have spread the word, and I really do appreciate it. We're here every Monday through Friday, absolutely free, right about 7 o'clock. We archive everything. Email me, jc at jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Back in the morning. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.